welcome to the NC Students Podcast. NC Students is the middle school and high school ministry of Northland Cathedral in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information on NC Students and Northland Cathedral, please visit www.northlandcathedral.org. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy this week's message.
So anyways, week two of the series, Who Are You? And last week we talked, this whole series is about how we see ourselves and how we live our life is based on a lot about how what the deepest beliefs of who we understand and believe to be. And so last week we talked a little bit about that performance trap, that people's opinions and my performance equals my worth and my value, how I feel about myself. So I have to make sure I have the opinion, you know, people's opinions shape me and how I perform. If I'm up, I'm up, and if I'm down, and how that was crazy, this trap to feel like we have to perform. This is a little bit related, but a little bit different. And every single one of the weeks that we're going to be in this series is all about the lies that we believe. Some of us don't say like, yeah, that's absolutely what I believe. It's just the way we've lived our life for a lot of our life. It's just a way that we've kind of, we don't even recognize this. So at first this might sound like that's not me, but just hang with me. So in order to start this next lie that we believe in, let me ask this question. If any of you can go back in time and speak to your younger self, now I recognize you're still young, but I bet you can picture yourself like a year, 2 years, 6 years ago, maybe last week, and you just want to say, I wish I could go back and be like, what are you thinking, you dummy? Can anyone ever wish they could go back and like change something? Yeah, everyone's kind of shaking their head. Let's make this interactive. What would you say you'd like to go back and change? You don't have to be specific, like that one time that I robbed money from the bank. I mean, don't confess like crimes here, but what would you say you'd love to go back and tell yourself? Yes. You wish you did what? You wish you would not have cut your hair? Why did you cut your hair? A year ago. She wanted to be a new person. Oh, you're like setting me up like a volleyball. This is that volleyball thing, right? Bump, set, spike. She wanted to be a new person, so she cut her hair. She wished she'd go back and say, don't cut your hair. Don't try to be a new person by cutting your hair. What else? Nani would like to go back in time to tell Josiah to do something differently, apparently. Is that what you said? Do I remember Tumbleweed? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looked like a tumbleweed in Provo. What else? Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, that. Yeah. You'd be like, sit down and like scoot off. That's good news. I wish I could go back and tell myself that. I wish I could go back and tell 13-year-old Jerome, and I recognize that's not too far from you guys, but I wish I could go back and tell 13-year-old Jerome, stop caring so much what people think. Because I was a military kid, and so I had the ability every 3 or 2 years to like reinvent myself, which is like terrible in those years where you really care about what people think, and you do reinvent yourself to get accepted. And so like when I lived in Connecticut, and I was like 12 and 13, I hung out with baseball players because I was a baseball player, and they were listening to some like crazy rap stuff that you've probably never even heard because it was all about like just stuff. I don't even want to admit what that stuff was about. And to be honest with you, it wasn't my style. I didn't really like it, but I let it become my style, and I thought that was my style, and I started to act like that was my style. And I kind of believed my own hype, but then I moved to South Carolina and hung out with the baseball players and the girls that the baseball players hung out with. And it was all about like Pearl Jam. You guys know who Pearl Jam is? God bless you. Hootie and the Blowfish, you know who that is? They're from Charleston. They're like really close. So it was all that kind of stuff. And so I straight up just switched my taste. But it wasn't that I really changed my taste or changed who I was. I changed what I listened to because I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be respected. And so I changed. And listen, I know I'm of a different generation, and every generation, people are a little bit different. Millennials and homelanders are different than Gen Xers. But there is a universal experience in all humanity, whether you're a teenager or not, but I think perhaps even more so in our teenage years, where we become kind of those chameleons of what changing in order to be accepted. Or am I right? Maybe you have done it. Maybe you've seen other people do it. I have a list here of the consequences of me changing too much. When I changed my music taste and changed my identity to be accepted and to be respected by a new group of friends, not only did I sell out my music, but there was times where this same trait of wanting to be accepted, I've bent over backwards, not literally, but figuratively, and killed myself to help other people out, only to feel like later on that, because I was looking for their acceptance, that they, I was used, and then I become bitter and angry because you didn't really care about me. You just wanted what I could do for you, but I did it hoping to win their acceptance. There's been times where I've avoided relationships because I didn't want to like risk letting myself be vulnerable in a relationship, because what if I'm rejected and I just don't know that I could handle that? So it's just safer to keep it with my two friends and not let anybody in. And I kind of came across as a snob, but the reality is I was scared to death of being rejected by somebody new. And so I don't even take that risk. There's a number of ways that things mess with us when we are addicted to acceptance, addicted to approval. It changes what we do. The problem is this: when you're addicted to approval, Jerome's standing, he's ready to preach. I don't know if I can sit down the whole time. It feels like Sunday school. When you're addicted to approval, when you get it, then you're going to keep doing what it takes to get that approval, whether that is something that you want to do or really reflects who you are or not. But I got to get that approval coming. So whether that's being really nice and doing churchy stuff, you feel approval, then you're doing really churchy stuff for the wrong reasons. Or maybe it's doing stuff that is against what you believe, but that approval is just driving us. And we'll illustrate that here in a second. But you're going to do what, you're going to scratch that itch. You're going to keep going back to what is giving you your sense of worth and identity. And if it is the approval of others, it drives you one way or the other. And it's not really who you are. If you don't get it, then you're like crushed. But I think the scariest thing is sometimes we're so hardwired to look for people's approval that we don't even realize we're doing it. So we could change who we are. We could change the music we listen to or the way we act or what we believe because we want to be accepted and really buy in that that's who we are. And we don't even can't even really point back to how we became the way we are. Let me give you a couple of examples, and maybe this sounds familiar. And let me just say this. When I was growing up in the 90s, I didn't have a cell phone and there was no such thing as social media. I know that's not news to you guys, but I just came back from a youth pastor retreat, and Terry Parkman, who's like guru youth pastor guy up in Minnesota, was our speaker. And he said, the generation that you guys live in change your identity like 17 times in your teenage years or something ridiculous based on social media, Instagram. Like if I throw a picture on Instagram and everyone's like, oh, you look beautiful. Great. Do that. Guess what you're going to keep doing? You're going to keep putting that picture on there. Whatever it is, I got a million likes. You're going to keep feeding that thing. And then all of a sudden, when the engagement online goes down and nobody cares about this picture, you're going to find something else in order to get. And honestly, I've heard this, and I don't have the scientific facts in front of me, but like the dopamine that releases, like when you do drugs and ride roller coasters, is that same thrill and rush why people are like dying to check their phone to see how many more likes they have. Because that feels like an acceptance thing, and it just feeds you, and you become addicted to approval. You guys have a scary, dangerous tool in your hand for this lie to actually flesh out worse. But here, does this sound familiar to you guys? Have you ever been mean to somebody? Not because you're a mean person, but because everyone else was mean, and your crowd that you hung with was mean, so you went ahead and participated in it. And I feel sorry for the kid who got picked on, but I feel sorry for the people who are picking on the kid who are just doing it to be accepted by the crowd. Nobody? Maybe I am the only jerk in the room. All right, Jerome's a jerk. Have you ever done like a whole bunch of a project and felt used after you were done because people didn't pull their weight? And you're thinking that maybe if you do this, you would win goodwill or favor or friendship? Have anyone ever avoided relationships for fear of rejection? Holding people at distance? Yeah, I see the head shaking. Man, the addiction to approval, I promise you, it drives your life and it sucks life away. Essentially, it's this. I must be approved by certain others in order to feel good about myself. Not all others. Like, I don't care what people think. The people who say that probably care the most what people think. But this is actually, like, I care specifically about certain people that have an incredible power over me on whether I feel good about myself or not. Whether it's your parents, a coach, a certain friend, or a certain group you're not in that reminds you that you're not in it. We believe this lie. When we think, who do you think you are? We're letting other people determine who we are. And what we talked about last week was this, when we talked about the performance trap. And the next slide says this. It says that out of our deepest beliefs, we think, our thought life comes out of our deepest beliefs, the emotions come out of our thought life, and our actions come out of our emotions. So if you believe that you need this approval of certain people to feel good about yourself, when that approval does not happen, your thoughts are, I'm not worthy, I've not been approved, because that deepest belief of that lie that we're believing says, I've been rejected. My emotions become defensive and angry, and then I do whatever I do, reject people back, argue back, withdraw, all these different things, feel bitter, fight back. Or you can even take another round of that. If I believe that I need certain people's approval to feel good about myself, then my thought life is, well, I need to go to this party. I need to go get involved physically with that person. I need to do whatever it is that the crowd is doing because I want to make sure I satisfy that deepest belief. My thought life changes. And then my emotions, fear of not being accepted. And my actions are, I go seek that approval. Does that make sense? Before I answer this question, let me just ask, because honestly, I know that when I was a teenager, and I know even as an adult, I haven't conquered this, and I still deal with this. But I'm better at it than I was. But let me just straight ask you guys, because I promise to you, if you tell me, Jerome, don't worry about it, bro, we got this covered. People's opinions and acceptance and rejection don't faze us, then I will close in prayer and I will thank God that he's giving me such a wonderful group of students. Should I keep going or just deal with real life with you guys? You guys, you got this mastered? Oh, see. Oh, I feel good now. I'm going to sit back down. Well, here's the deal. How do we get out of the being approval addict? How do we come out of that? The same way we came out of the idea of performance trap, and that's the cross of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to replace that belief, that deepest belief, that lie with truth, and that truth comes out of Colossians 1:15. Let me just say, as we turn to Colossians 1, let me just say this. Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about being transformed and changed by allowing God to change the way we think. Taking lies out of our deepest beliefs and replacing them with truth is just that, allowing God to change the way we think, and that transforms us. So in an effort to transform and to separate and to not be driven by the need for approval, Colossians chapter 1, starting in 15. Now, if you notice in 15, if you have your Bible, how many people see 15 through 20? It kind of looks like a psalm. It's written like in a song. It's not just paragraph form, all the indents and stuff. Do you see that? That was more than likely an early church song or a hymn that they would sing or recite to one another. And in this hymn, one of the greatest places that kind of lays out Christ's divinity, that he is indeed God in the flesh. It lays that out. Let me read it to you, and then we're going to get to the because of this. Because of who Christ is, let's just start in 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything. In the heavenly realms and on earth, he made the things we see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is the first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. That's like a psalm. I don't know what the tune was. You want to come up with a tune? We could try to sing this thing. Old MacDonald, let's try it. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. E-I-E-I. It doesn't really work. I don't know what tune that song was, but it was a song, all right? This great picture of who Jesus is at creation, the head of the church. And then after he quotes this, he says this in verse 21, this includes you. Notice verse 20, he reconciled everything to himself. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Now, there's a little overlap there to justification, standing holy and blameless, our legal stance before God, which we talked about last week. But the term he used here is, but God's reconciled you. Justification last week was a legal term. I stand righteous because of Christ's righteousness. But today is a relational term. My relationship was broken. I was an enemy, but now I'm a friend. In the Philippines, remember the song, I am a friend of God? Remember that song? Yeah, in the Philippines, because of their accents, they would sing in English songs, and they'd be like, I am afraid of God. You've heard this before, right? I am afraid of God. I'm afraid of God. He calls me Fred. Not quite the theology we're looking for, but he does call me friend. And reconciliation means that relationship that was broken. We were once enemies, but now we're friends. That the next word is reconciliation. That what was broken is now brought together and reconciled. Just like justification means that we're pleasing to the Father, reconciliation means that we're approved of by the Father. We are fully pleasing because of justification, because of reconciliation. Man, we're fully approved by Him. He has made us friends. The word I'm looking for is acceptable. We are fully acceptable to Him, not approving. But yeah, same difference. So this is a big deal because this, we can do different things to get people's approval. There's nothing we could possibly do in our sinful nature to get God's full approval. The only thing that can get us God's approval is Christ on the cross. And once we stand in light of Christ, and I know everyone here is not a Christian, but if you are, and you put your hope in Jesus, then God sees us and we're acceptable to Him. And if we're acceptable to Him, this is the same thing. If we're acceptable to God, that changes a lot if we allow it to. See, the cross is not just about getting to heaven, but it's about living life well today. And I think the enemy wants to throw lies into Christians' lives that maybe he can't take us away from heaven and bring us down in our faith, but he can make us live our life pretty stinking miserable as Christians. Because while we have heaven nailed down with believing in the cross, we miss that in the cross there's the power to live life that's not driven by seeking the approval of others. And so we live a miserable life. We're going to go to heaven, but we're stinking miserable and making mistakes along the way because of other people's approval or disapproval of us. Because of reconciliation, I am completely acceptable to God, and there's nothing else I want you to get from this message but that. Because of reconciliation, you are completely acceptable to God. And if you are acceptable to God, then you don't have to do those things to become accepted by other people. And you will, because you're human. And I still do. But that doesn't drive my life like it used to. I catch myself in certain moments when I feel rejected. Before I came back to Northern Cathedral, another church was talking to me about going there. And they decided not to go that direction, which is a blessing because I'm back here. But I remember, and I was walking through this stuff for the first time in my life, coming back from being a missionary. And I remember instantly feeling a very familiar pain of being absolutely rejected and broken up. The truth of the matter is, wasn't sure I really wanted to go to that place anyways. But it was a job. It didn't matter that I'm glad that I didn't go there. Praise God I didn't become their youth pastor, because they're not as cool and beautiful as you people. But no matter that, I felt crushed. And in that moment of being crushed because I felt rejected and unaccepted, I had to remind myself that I am fully acceptable to God because of what Jesus Christ has done. Now, we kind of fake this thing and we lie. I don't care what people think. I don't care if people don't like me or reject me. And that's a great attitude to have if you really mean it, but we very often don't mean it. We say that to protect ourselves. We do care if we're honest. We're trying to convince ourselves that we don't care. Because of reconciliation, I am completely acceptable to God, and I don't need the approval of others to make me feel one way or the other. I don't need to run after that approval. I don't need to be crushed because of lack of approval or feelings of rejection. Here's what it means for you guys, and here's what it means for all of us. We don't need to fear rejection. When you're rejected, you know what it means? Because it will happen. We will all be rejected. We will be. But it means the sting doesn't sting as bad as it used to sting. And it does sting, does it not? But the sting doesn't sting as bad as it used to sting. It's not the end of the world. but it still might sting a little, but not like it used to. It won't ruin your day. How about when you're wrongly misjudged and people have it totally wrong and they've made this idea of who you are and you just feel like this great injustice and you want to grow angry and you want to confront and be, you can let things roll and go. They misunderstood. No big deal. Your world's not, your actions don't have to follow this path. Here's my favorite one. And this is not because of fine arts, but can I just say one thing about fine arts? On the national level of fine arts, you'll get judges' score sheets that have actually critique on it that tell you you're not good and why you're not good. And district fine arts, they just tell you you're great, and then they don't give you scores that are good. So we have like this impulse to reject criticism from anybody. We want to discredit them and not listen to them. Well, it's Northern Missouri fine arts judges. But let me say this. I'll let you do that for fine arts judges in Northern Missouri, but I will not let you do that with everywhere else in your life. I don't control you, but let me implore you not to do that. There are people who love you and will say hard things for your benefit and will challenge you. And if you dismiss them, you will miss out on the opportunity to grow. But you will dismiss those things because you feel rejected. But if you understand that because of reconciliation, we are completely accepted to God, that feeling of rejection won't stand in the way of you actually receiving and growing from criticism, constructive criticism done in love. But we're so afraid of what people think and being rejected that our emotions are screaming and we totally miss out on an opportunity to grow because we'd rather protect ourselves. I'm convinced that people will respect you more because you're not changing who you are every other day. Uh-huh. And I don't know if you do that, but I did it. Or every other year. So here's what I want you to do, and I'm going to close this message. It's a pretty brief message because I just really wanted you to take this next lie and kind of kick it to the curb. Just remind yourself in those moments where you feel rejected that you're absolutely accepted by the Father. And if you can really receive that acceptance and not just believe it, like, I know I'm accepted by the Father, but if that actually like settles in your heart and changes how you see yourself, who you think you are, it'll change your thoughts and your emotions and your actions. And if we did this, what would that change? I bet you relationships would be just a little bit easier than they are sometimes. Think about relationships that you've lost or the fighting that you do with friends, and then even if you remain friends, a lot of times it's because when they have a different opinion about Calvinism or Arminianism, you feel that they are rejecting you. You can't even argue the issue because you personally feel rejected and your friendships suffer. Nobody in that room has ever done this. I'm just using it as an example. Okay, yeah, people have totally done that. I'm calling them out. But let's be honest, the reason you got all hot and heated and bothered, that's not the wrong term. The reason you got all offended and angry is not because you're like the champion of Calvinism, it's because you feel like their different opinion is a rejection of you, and it's not. But think about how messy we make our relationships sometimes when we think we're being rejected when we're not really being rejected. And I don't know exactly. I wasn't really refereeing that thing. I was just using an example because it's a good example. And everything else I'd use as an example is probably a little too close to home for other people. That's the stupidest argument I've ever heard about, so it's safe to go there. Like a 33-year-old seminary student. Bunch of old men. Do you feel like I'm rejecting you? No. Because of reconciliation, you're fully accepted. So even if I reject you, it's all good. Maybe the bitter, nasty words that flow from our mouth out of the hurt of being rejected don't flow so easily. Maybe it would be really who we really are and not afraid to be who we are and comfortable in our own skin. I'm convinced that so many of the issues in our society are less political, sexual, and whatever the other issues may be. And a lot of it is based on our identity and that feeling of being attacked by because of who we are. But when that settles in our heart, it doesn't matter. We're not nearly sensitive. We're not nearly as, and what happens is we become oversensitive or we become super numb to it as a way to defend ourselves. I have a mom who I love to death. But there's many times I grew up felt like I had to perform to be accepted. It's kind of a mixture of week one and week two. You know, when shame gets laid out on you and things like that. And she's a wonderful lady, don't get me wrong. But today I wonder if you're here and you would say, hey, the need for acceptance, the fear of rejection, man, it rocks me more than I would like to admit. And I don't want to live life that way. If you're not a Christian, I know the answer I just gave was Jesus on the cross. I think we have the best answer. If you're not a Christian, I'm sure you'd feel the same way, though. I don't want to be rocked by the need for people's approval and the fear of rejection. And I'd love to talk to you about what Jesus means. But for the rest of us who put our hope in Jesus for eternal life, put your hope in Jesus for life today, to live it well. These are actually theological terms, these big things, justification, reconciliation. I spent thousands of dollars. I have a big fatty book about it. But nobody ever told me that because of reconciliation, I don't have to run after people's approval. I don't have to be crushed when I don't get it. I want my money back from seminary. Let me pray with you guys. Can we sing Beautiful Name? We're going to sing this song. The band's going to come back up here right now. Is that what they're singing over there? All I know is whatever squeaky pedal, we're not going to hear it today because they're going to have other things going on in the band, unlike last week. Can I just say that you guys were awesome last week? With that, yeah, that was the worst. Would you stand with me as these guys play, and we're going to sing this song here in a second, but this song is about the wonderful name of Jesus, not just the one who bought us eternal life after death, but the one who brings life today at its fullest, at its best. Jesus said that he came to give life and give life that was abundant. Not to like get a ticket to heaven and live miserable. And if you're addicted to approval of others, life becomes pretty burdensome. But it's the beautiful name of Jesus where we have hope to live life and to live it well. Life after death, but our life between now and death. So the passage of scripture I read, Paul says that we've been reconciled. We were once enemies, but now we're friends. That he's brought us into his presence, that we stand before him. And listen, notice, we are fully accepted to God, not based on what we do or don't do, like it does, it's all dependent with other people, what we do and don't do. But we're fully accepted by God based on what Jesus has done. You will never earn this thing. You will never earn right standing or right relationship with God. And when you trust what Jesus has done for you, you'll never lose it. Even on your worst day, you are fully accepted and pleasing. Because he doesn't see you in your mess. He sees you through the lens of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. And here's what Paul says. I stopped reading in verse 21, 22. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly on it. And that's way easier said than done. Because the moments when you're rejected, it's easy to forget. The moments you're seeking acceptance, it's easy to forget. Paul says you must continue to believe and stand firmly on this truth. Don't drift away from the assurance that you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over this world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as such a servant to proclaim it. Don't forget what the good news is really good. And the good news is not just the start of our Christian life, but it's everything in our Christian life. There is joy and freedom to be found in the good news. Let me pray and close this. And I want you guys to go in your groups. And honestly, I know how groups work because I've sat in your group sometimes. And we talk about vacation. And you talk about the boys, not the guys group. I don't know what the girls group does, but I know the guys, we talk about usually bodily functions and stupid stuff like that. And I'm happy for that. I'm glad we connect as a community. But I dare you to go in your groups. And Jay Duncan, for the guys, he's all over this. Because Jason and I walk this together. Take some time and really challenge yourselves, one another.